It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. We pray that these Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. During the broadcast, Pastor Emery will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. Yes, this is Pastor Emery. This broadcast will be a separate Bible study, complete in itself, and not part of any series. And rather than doctrine or prophecy per se, we will be talking about the Bible itself and what the Word of God says about the Word of God. The Bible is not a natural book as we think in terms of books, for in spite of the fact that only a small percentage of our race diligently try to understand or follow its teachings, an extremely high percentage of our people, when asked a direct question, will admit they believe the Bible to be the Word of God. That this is so has been shown to some extent by various polls asked of the American people over the years about the Bible or about God. The poll takers usually express surprise that in this quote-unquote modern age, so many still say they believe in the Bible. In modern America, non-Christian authors and publications far outnumber Christian authors and publications. I have no way of giving anything but an estimate of the ratio, but it probably is as much as 1,000 to 1. For every book or magazine page which is written about the Bible or about its teachings, at least 1,000 pages are published on other subjects, many of them at direct variance with Bible teachings. So it is all the more wonderful that the Bible survives at all in the minds and hearts of millions of Americans when subtle and open attacks upon it continue to pour out in many of these other sources. And this is true while those same people have really very little understanding of the true teachings of the divine word. What could we expect would happen in and among this race if God's true doctrines and precepts once became universally taught? If you will get your Bibles, I am going to read some passages from the Bible itself which may demonstrate to us its power and give us an understanding why Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away," and why Isaiah and Habakkuk could write that at some future time the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. While you are getting your Bibles, I will give my address where you can write for our free monthly literature packet. Write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona 85010. We offer a different packet of free literature each month. You are not put on a mailing list, but must write for it each month as you wish to receive it. Just write to our address, ask for the monthly packet by the name of the month, or by some book or tract I have mentioned as being in it, and it will be sent to you by return mail, free and postpaid. You will not be solicited for funds. You will be put on our mail list only if you indicate an interest in this ministry. The packets are sent out. Once one is addressed to you, your letter with its address is destroyed. My address will be repeated near the end of this 30-minute broadcast. There are several items in the packet, including a list of over 150 cassette tape Bible studies available through this ministry, and of course our radio map and log listing the stations over which you can hear this broadcast. So write to me, Pastor Emery, at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. And when you write, will you please indicate in your letter the radio station over which you heard this broadcast? It will help us evaluate our stations so we may use your tithes and offerings wisely and well. Now to the Bible, to read what God Almighty says about Himself and His Word to help us see why the people of our race continue to hold the Bible in such reverence in spite of the attacks and smears against it and against Jesus Christ, which have continued over so many centuries, and in spite of the fact that at the same time they know so little about the Bible. Jesus Christ gave us one reason when he answered the devil in Matthew 4 and verse 4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." By rather plain implication, Jesus said man cannot survive with only material things, but needs God's Word in order to live. I think it is true that if our race had not had that Word, we would have disappeared long ago, drowned in the flood of heathen races and religions. One can hardly contemplate what the world would be like today, or perhaps rather what it would not be, if the white race had not had the Bible. The phrase, every word, tells us we need the whole Bible, not just a part of it. Religions which base their doctrines on a part of the Bible are found to be false religions. Ducks cannot fly on one wing, neither can our race survive or prosper with only half of God's Word. Once in a while, a radio listener will chide me for using so much of the Old Testament and remind me that many churches insist Christians need only the New Testament. Some churches even call themselves New Testament churches. But it is the New Testament itself which is the most powerful argument for the truth that God's people need to read and understand the Old Testament. In fact, familiarity with the Old Scriptures is practically a prerequisite for understanding the New. In Matthew, as we have seen, Jesus' first words after his baptism are recorded as being, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The phrase, "it is written," identified Jesus' words as originating in the Old Testament writings. And each time following, as Jesus rebuked the devil, he quoted the Old Testament. Portions of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, are often quoted as the source of New Testament doctrine. But if you will read Jesus' sermon beginning in chapter 5, you will find this. His first sentence is a quote from Psalms, Proverbs, and Isaiah. His second sentence is from Isaiah. Jesus' third sentence, verse 5, is from Numbers, Psalms, and Isaiah. The fourth sentence is from the prophet Isaiah. His fifth sentence is from Psalms and Hosea. And Jesus' sixth sentence is from the Psalms. Was Jesus teaching some new doctrine or philosophy? Something that might be called New Testament doctrine in contrast to the Old? No, not at all. Jesus continued to expound the truth, and then said in verse 17, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." The phrase, "the law and the prophets," is used by New Testament writers to mean the older Holy Scriptures. Jesus said he did not come to destroy or to put them away, but to carry out that which was written in them, to fulfill them. In Romans 15:8, Paul wrote that Jesus came to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, those promises, of course, being in the Old Testament Scriptures. To be sure his listeners and his readers today got the message of the continued existence and importance of the law and the prophets, Jesus went right on in verse 18 of Matthew 5, For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Although some today insist that all Old Testament writings were fulfilled at the time of Jesus, and therefore are finished, these same modern ministers will often quote directly from the Old Law and the Old Prophets to prove some point of their theology about the fulfillment of prophecy yet today. An example of that is the literally tens of thousands of preachers who call themselves New Testament Christians and insist that only the New Testament is important for Christians today, yet turn right around and tell those same Christians that God is bringing about prophetic events in the Mideast or among the Jews according to what is written in Genesis or in Exodus or in Psalms or Ezekiel 38 and 39 or some other Old Testament passage. They seem to want to discourage you from reading the Old Testament, but dredge up portions of it themselves when it suits their purpose. Preachers are supposed to be teachers of the facts and precepts recorded in the book called the Holy Bible. What would you think of a school teacher who would take a class textbook of perhaps 1,000 pages, open it to page 700, and proceed to tell the class they would study only the last 300 pages of the book, for although it was true the author had written the entire book, the author himself had, in the last 300 pages, repudiated and negated the first 700 pages. You would think that teacher was either lazy, crazy, or had some secret reason for not wanting you to read the first 700 pages. Well, what do you think of preachers who do exactly that with the Christian Church's textbook, the Holy Bible? I said one needs to know and understand the Old Testament, the first part of the church textbook, if you please, in order to understand the New Testament or the last part of the book. Here is a short passage in Matthew which demonstrates that point. Matthew 9, verses 10 through 13. I'll read it first, then comment on it. Matthew 9, 10 through 13. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now today, evangelists and missionaries will often quote that and say, See, we are to go to the heathen in far lands, to the wicked and the sinners, and call them to repentance. And they mount great works among the aborigines and the heathen, among the alcoholics, the drug addicts, the rapists, the murderers, even among the sodomites, and they work and spend year after year, century after century, and the heathen religions and alcohol and drugs and crime become worse, not better. The problems increase instead of being solved, and yet they continue to insist they are doing what Jesus commanded in Matthew 9, verse 12 and 13. What is wrong? Well, it is quite simple. They did not do first what Jesus told them to do, Go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. The quote, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, is from the Old Scripture. The Old Scriptures were the only written word of God they had in Jesus' time, and since he told them to go and find out what that Old Testament phrase meant for their answer to their question, he obviously left them with no place to turn except the old written word of God. I'll not take time on radio to explain that verse. It is sufficient for my purpose here to prove that any misunderstanding of it today is because ministers are not interpreting it from the Old Testament. but assume it just means they are to go and preach to the wicked of the earth. Multiplied millions of dollars of Christian tithe money is spent in great evangelical or missionary projects, all based on some man or men's interpretation of the New Testament, and there is no fruit. Is it because God has spoken wrongly, perhaps given foolish or impossible instruction? Or is it because God's word has been misinterpreted? Almost every Christian within the sound of my voice can testify that Christian missions for alcoholics, for drug addicts, and for the heathen are abysmal failures. But how many among you will admit it might be because such missions or works are unscriptural and perhaps not commanded by Jesus to be done at all? How many will admit Jesus may have been giving instruction on something entirely different? This passage is only one of scores in the New Testament which are misinterpreted, mistaught, and misapplied because they are not examined in the light of the Old Testament from which they are quoted. Let me express this in a statement. You listen and see if you can disagree. Although it is true, as I stated a few moments ago, that we are literally flooded with non-Christian publications, it is also true that on a per capita basis, America today has more churches, more ministers, more evangelists, more preaching, and more church books and tracts published and distributed among our people than at any time in our past history. Think of the television preachers, the thousands of ministers on radio, and the millions of tracts and books printed and distributed every year. And although it is also true, as I stated a few minutes ago, that most of our race say they believe in God and that the Bible is the Word of God, all of that preaching is falling on a nation where unrighteousness, fornication, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, greed, murder, deceit, disobedience by children, and violation of the marriage vows is increasing beyond measure. In spite of all the preaching and printing, America is becoming more corrupt, and the violation of the laws of God and of the nation have become the norm, not the exception. What is wrong? Well, perhaps I can answer that by answering what is right. Certainly it is not possible that all of this massive increase in preaching, these mountains of books and tracts, which profess to be Bible doctrine, can be right. If they were, it would seem they must have some effect on the population, and yet there seems to be none. The people continue to believe in God and continue to admit Jesus is the Christ and the Bible is the Word of God, but they do not obey that Word, nor live, work, or act upon it, nor do they desire that city, state, or nation follow that Word. So far, I have quoted only the New Testament, but turn with me to the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah, and I believe I can show you what is wrong with professed Christian teaching today. Jeremiah 23 begins, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." Here God is not condemning some alien army or some wicked criminal for destroying his sheep. No, he is making direct accusation against the pastors, the preachers. God continues to condemn the pastors, interspersing it with prophecy. In verse 13 he says of the pastors that they prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. In verse 14 he says, "They walk in lies, they strengthen the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness." But here is the verse I want you to consider. Verse 22, Jeremiah 23. "But if they had stood in my counsel, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way, and from the evil of their doings." God says if the pastors and the prophets would speak the truth of God's counsel, if they would cause the people to hear God's words, then the people would turn from their evil ways and from their evil doings. You see, it is not God's word that is at fault. Paul told Timothy, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for corrections, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." But preaching today is not producing good works. It is not correcting the people or the nation. It is not instructing them in righteousness or in right living. It is not turning the evildoer from his wickedness. I have heard several ministers blame one female atheist by the name of Madeline Murray O'Hare for being a major cause of the corruption of our people by her opposition to the Bible. But America has 300,000 ordained ministers. What is Madeline O'Hare to that number? Can the fault be with the pastors? God said his word would correct his people Israel if the preachers preached it. That the people are not being corrected seems adequate proof that they are not preaching God's word. Some of the preachers have even rewritten God's word in the New Testament to make it say that God has put away the law he gave in the Old Testament. The Living Bible says this in Ephesians 2 and verse 15, quote, "By his death he ended the angry resentment between us caused by the Jewish laws which favored the Jews and excluded the Gentiles, for he died to annul that whole system of Jewish laws," end of quote from the Living Bible. But if you will read your King James, you will see it says, "Jesus abolished the law of commandments contained in ordinances," or what we know as the blood sacrifices. But the Living Bible has rewritten that to say, "Jesus died to annul that whole system of Jewish laws." Is it possible the major error in teaching God's word today is the minister's refusal to teach the law and the prophets from which Jesus taught, and from which Paul taught, and from which Peter, James, and Jude and others instructed the early Christians? Is it possible they are not standing in God's counsel, that they are not causing the people to hear God's word? They may cry that they are outnumbered, that my ratio of 1,000 to 1 of non-Christian literature to Christian literature is too much for God's word to get through. But God said nothing at all about his word having to be in the majority in order to affect his people. Elijah contended with 400 priests of Baal and won, not only proving them wrong, but bringing about their destruction, and the Israel people were turned. Turn with me to Romans 16 for further evidence that Bible truth will be revealed to Christians out of the Old Testament. Paul is here closing his letter to the Christians at Rome, and he writes in chapter 16, verse 25, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." And here Paul is saying rather plainly, there is a revelation of some mystery which has been secret since the world began. And listen to what he says in the next verse, verse 26, "But now is made manifest," or made known, "but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." How did Paul, a New Testament writer, say the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery was being revealed? By the scriptures of the prophets. I said it before, and I shall repeat it. You cannot understand the New Testament unless you interpret them out of the Old Testament scriptures. For it is the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, which reveal what the writers of the New Testament are saying. Paul says this another way in his letter to the Ephesians. In chapter 2, he writes to and of the Christians, Verse 19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Verse 20, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Paul commended Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, because, quote, "that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Pastor Emery, do you mean to say Paul said Timothy could become wise unto salvation in Jesus Christ by his knowing the old scriptures? For that is what Paul was referring to. Yes, I mean exactly that. Yes, America, all of Christendom, needs the preaching of the whole Bible, both the Old and the New Testament. The American people generally believe the Bible is the Word of God. The good ground is there. It needs only the planting of truth, not of falsehood. And when that begins to come, and it will, then perhaps we will see that our people will not only say they believe the Bible to be the Word of God, but they will begin to act upon it, and will become wise unto salvation which is in Christ Jesus. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. Listen again next week at this same time as we continue to study both the Old and the New Testament for the truth of God's Word. Meanwhile, write for this month's packet of free literature. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona 85010. Ask for the packet by the name of the month. The announcer will repeat my address in just a few seconds, and if you do not know the name of the radio station to which you are listening, the station announcer will give that at the end of this program. Write it down, and when you write to us, tell us the call letters of the station over which you heard America's Promise. It will help us evaluate the listenership of the various radio stations. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bible, and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like Pastor Emery to continue broadcasting on this station, please write to him at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, please ask for the literature you would like. You will also receive a list of other literature available, a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcasts on tape, and the current log of radio stations where you or friends may hear America's Promise. Pastor Emery's address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be with Pastor Emery next week at this same time. Tell your friends of the broadcast, and thank you for listening.